question. I don't know if this is the right time for it either, but the bhikkhu, the obtuse bhikkhu who thought about, what self is it in here?
Oh, right.
That's that place where karma kind of comes into the question.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's sort of like, just karma and rebirth, and what the
So it seemed like I could be that
right.
Sympathize with the question, if the teacher is saying that there's no self in any of these khandhas,
yeah,
it
then
sounds almost like he's saying there isn't any experience of self, there isn't any self, right? Because
right.
Have to kind of come to that conclusion.
Right. Well, it's sort of like how can there be karma without a self to receive the fruits of the karma?
Right.
Yeah.
So, or how does karma work if there isn't any self in
right.
operation?
Yeah.
And so, it seems like that question is going to get not decided without delving into it at all. And if there's a
well, I think what the Buddha is doing is coming back to the because the assumption. Is the assumption of that one actually needs to have a self in order for karma to ripen or to have fruit, that there actually has to be something. But that's that fundamental assumption is the seed of the problem itself. So that with the and I think one of the things is that what the Buddha is not say the law of karma and the reaping the fruits of karma are separate from the sense of self or not self, and one of the because what it assumes is that it takes a nihilistic. It goes to either one of the extreme in the sense that if for karma to ripen, then there must be an eternal self. If there is not an eternal self, then it must be a nihilistic perspective, which there is no fruits of karma, and that's where in terms of atta. Is your eternalist view of eternal, and then vitrakta is the sort of negation of self, which is a nihilistic view. But anatta is your middle way of a non-self, in the sense that nothing is worth clinging to self because it's the assumption of self that is the problem, as opposed to. Like it's when one looking at the different forms of clinging, you've got gamupatan, sort of a attachment to sensual desire. You've got silabhadupatan, attachment to precepts and practices. You've got ditupatan, attachment to views, and then you've got attavadupatan, which is sort of the, it's not atta upatana, it's atta vada upatana. It's sort of like the doctrine of self or the belief in self. So that the belief in self, the attachment to the belief in self is the problem, as opposed to, say, like atta upatana, attachment to self. Because the self doesn't actually have a solid basis for its reality, it's an assumption. And we assume it in feeling, in form, feeling, perception, mental formations, or consciousness. In one way or another, we assume a self. So karma, of course, is still going to play itself out because of that assumption and the bringing together of that perception of selfhood. But that's what the Buddha is saying. The problem is the perception. The problem is the clinging. The problem is the assumed nature of self.
So another discourse is where there's talk about wrong view. And one of those that wrong view is illustrated is by the view that there's no mother, there's no father, there's no this world. The talk about beings being reborn, is it just a conventional use of language? I mean, he's not talking about cells being reborn.
See, the thing is, again, self is the, I mean, there's a continuity of identity that is, which is at the root of the rebirth process, really. But there is this continuity of beings that assume a selfhood, but the underlying problem is that assumption. And the actual, the insight that is liberating is the insight into that assumption. So it isn't as if there's, because atta is like a solid, eternal principle of a continuity of identity. But the basis of identity is in these five aspects of form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness. And each of them is impermanent, unstable, changing. So that there can't, in a logical sense, what the Buddha is using, just the logic, you can't have a solid sense of self that is based only on impermanent, unstable, changing pieces and bits and pieces. That's why the image of the chariot is that you've got a chariot, but the chariot is built up from all sorts of different bits and pieces, so that what you've got is a name or a designation, and all of its component parts are actually impermanent and changing, so that all you've got is the actual name. You don't have anything in substance that is ongoing and is solid and stable.
If I recall correctly, the simile of the flame is right next to that too, that chariot simile, where is the flame burning in the beginning of the night, same flame burning in the middle of the night, the same flame burning at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there is or is not a flame, it's just that the whole assumption is completely relevant to the fact that there's a continuity of action.
Yeah, there's all sorts of causes and conditions that are constantly changing. And then we make an assumption of solidity and eternal, and that's the problem. Not that there is a being that is reborn and reaps the fruits of karma, but the problem is the assumption we make of that continuity.